Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
The Square Ball Podcast.
Hello there. The show is brought to you by Levi Solicitors. So we'll do you 10% off your legal fees, 15% off conveyancing instructions until the end of September 2021. LeviSolicitors.co.uk/. The Square Ball. I'm Dan Moylan. Hello. With me is Michael Normanton.
Hello.
And Moscow White, Daniel Chapman.
Hello.
In propaganda, then we find out what has been said by the opposition fans in relation to Leeds United.
Moscow, how have you found?
Just having a look.
The opposition fans have had quite a lot to say. Do we really want to hear this? Is it going to be painful? I mean, I've not listened to these clips. As I've said to you earlier on in the day, I've not engaged in any way, shape or form the reaction, the analysis to any of this. Do I want to hear it?
Yeah, I mean, these first ones are all right. And the final one, I'd be amazed if you've not heard it yet. So the first one is from the Anfield Rap, who are kind of, I guess, they're probably about as close as you can get to Square Ball for a Liverpool thing. They do, like, they're quite well established and stuff, aren't they?
They record while eating bacon sandwiches. We don't do that.
Absolute animals.
Mm. I mean, I don't know what you do if you're a vegetarian who likes their stuff, because the opening credits is they're showing people cooking bits of pig, which, you know, I eat meat, that's absolutely fine, but you'd see the perspective of, you know, if you're a vegetarian red, you might be interested in their opinions, but you're not interested in watching a pig being cooked. So it's an interesting stylistic choice. The other one they had is their post game one, is they sit in a pub. They always seem to go very nice places, very kind of like a polished wood, and
the sort of place that charge you a tenner for a pie.
Yeah, which is possibly why they've only bought one. There's three of them sitting there, and they sit there in a row facing the camera, but there's only one of them in the middle who's got a pint, and the other two don't. This is the
no,
post.
No, a pint, I said pie.
Oh, okay, well, tenner for a pint as well. But yeah, they call it the post-match pints, but only one of them's got a pint.
Right. But it's because it would be the post-match pints.
The pints. But I mean, there's a pandemic on. You can't all be drinking out the same glass.
You'd have to use straws, wouldn't you?
Anyway, this first clip, they're coming live from, I'm not quite sure where it is. It's like an industrial commercial estate thing somewhere in Leeds. So these lads are on the way to Elland Road, and they're looking forward to it.
Just before I play the clip, I do want to say, pubs that don't put proper sides on their pies and just put pastry over a top of a tin, that's not good. Don't do that.
I'm excited to get in there because I've talked all week about Leeds as a name. And I think this was one of the fixtures when they come back up that I was most excited about. And last season, obviously, we didn't get it because towards the end of the season, there weren't fans in. This season, you know, we're finally going to sort of feel what it's like to be in Elland Road. And, you know, you think back to all those big wins. We've been looking at them on social media this week. The Heskey goal. Were you at any of those?
I was at the 4-0. I didn't go to the FA Cup. I was here.
I mean, it looked good as well.
Not to dive in.
I was at the FA Cup, and honest to God, it was probably the most consummate humiliating performance of that Liverpool era. And it
such a good lead side as well.
Honestly, yeah. As well, and they were brilliant, and it kind of set the tone. I think we'd won the League Cup by then. Although it was just before, but it kind of just gave everyone belief. Leeds absolutely battered us.
Yeah, they were a good team.
Nicky Barmy scored, and Emil Heskey scored.
Yeah,
it was kind
right
of battered that. It was always Ale, no, put the champagne on ice, go into Cardiff twice, that's when it started.
I think that's...
They're going to duck out now.
So it's good interlude.
Leeds at Elland Road felt like such a big game. It felt like a proper top four game back then, and it always felt as if Liverpool and Leeds were sort of tussling for those you know, those spots. But yeah, it's brilliant to sort of be back, and it's the stadium for me. First time at the stadium, it's another one stadium to tick off the list, so I'm doubly excited.
Which is what you want from a game like this. The enjoyment of the occasion, but I didn't enjoy it, did you?
I think part of the problem is that that's, for those of us old enough to remember it, that you do go, oh, Liverpool, top four clash. Actually, they're top four, we're somewhere underneath, wherever that ends up this season. We're not top four.
The point is the top four is way, way over the horizon in the distance, and we are somewhere back here with all the other riffraff.
It's interesting, the game they're talking about, though, because I, without having heard this, included that in my match report, talking about the O'Leary team, when probably, if you look through the team we started that game with, it's probably one of the best we've ever had, certainly in the last like 20 years of Martin in goal. And it's the classic Rio Ferdinand's playing. We've got Fowler, Viduka and Kewell up front, Batty and Decore and Bowyer in midfield. You know, you think this, it's absolutely, Robbie Keane comes on off the bench. We lost 4-0. And so it's kind of, even when
it happens.
Yeah, it can happen. Even when we're brilliant, we can be terrible and other teams can. Emil Heskey scored twice against us in that game. We had Viduka, Kewell and Smith. I don't know where Smith was in that game, but and Robbie Fowler, Emil Heskey, twice. And a Rio Ferdinand own goal, but he was scum.
So as they go back to them post-game, there's another lad has joined them by this stage. A young lad who's the very optimistic one, declaring they're about to win the league 4 games into the season. But yeah, as post-game, I mean, I found these lads all right, to be fair. Like, I could kind of relate to it. It's like, yeah, it looked like they've had a really good away day, the bastards.
It's never a 2-0, it's a 3-0 at least.
They were shite. They were shite, weren't they? Of all the talk of Bielsa's intensity and, you know, like, how hard they were going to work us, I think first 10, 15 minutes, both teams were feeling themselves into the game, but the Reds took control, I felt, and I'm delighted Fabinho gets a goal, by the way. When, I think it was Manny had the chance just before that, and me and John both had a pie, and when he missed that, I said to John, we both had a pie there, so it was a bad time.
He was waiting for us to finish, and then we scored.
And then he scored.
He scored from the corner.
I was right. And obviously the Elliot injury seemed to G them up, which is what sort of infuriated the way in, and that's what made it a bit tasty at the end. But it's going to be a fun 20-minute walk home to the car.
Yeah, this could be the last you see of us.
I said to John, I was like, I'd do anything for a third here just so we get to celebrate at them, and we did. We got it.
That was a little bit of that as well. I absolutely love as a song. The Reds have got no money, but we'll still win the league.
It's brilliant.
It's just such a balance in the terrace, especially in an old ground.
You can't help but just go like that as well.
You feel everything in there as well. You felt every time the Leeds were bouncing, but you really felt it when the Liverpool fans were bouncing. And every single one of us at the end there was giving it a big one. And the Reds have got no money, but we'll still win the league. And I'm absolutely confident the Reds are still in the league. I've seen nothing so far from this Liverpool side this whole season to sort of, you know, back against us winning the league. At Chelsea, you saw the way they celebrate at the end. Leeds come away from here with 3-0 and they're still pretty much celebrating at the end because of, you know, whatever they've taken from this game. An 18-year-old lad getting injured. Yeah, nice one, lads, all of us.
Scum.
But what the Reds will take from it is ultimately a league title come May, and that's what we want, isn't it?
Yeah, the adrenaline of the game there, you can hear it. He's chatting at 100 miles an hour. And
sad to hear Stuart Dallas calling us scum. That was a bit of a shame.
The Reds have got no money thing.
None at all.
None at all. I assume, Michael, you came up with this chart that shows Jurgen Klopp's total spending.
Can I read some of the numbers out on it?
20. Well, let's do the big headline one.
Let's save that for the end. Let's build up to the payoff, right? Okay. So Sadio Mane, 30 million. Wijnaldum, 25 million. Salah, 43 million. Andy Robertson, just a mere 10 million.
Harvey Elliott, that chippy little, not chippy, chirpy little, I'll get into a lot of trouble. That chirpy little...
That slipped out, didn't it?
Youth team product, 4.3 million. I'm assuming...
Why did they pay so much for him? I thought they dragged him off the fields of Liverpool.
I'm assuming the asterisk on this is like rising too in some instances if there's add-ons.
Anyway, let me continue. Oxlade-Chamberlain, 35 million. Van Dijk, 75 million. Keita, 53 million. Tavares, more than a woman, 44 million.
That's Adrian, who played for us.
Yeah, that's Fabinho, by the way. Shaqiri, 14 million. Becker, 65 million. Harvey Elliott, just a 4.3. Wow.
Bargain.
Even Minamino, 7.25. I don't even know. Costas, he's 12. The other Thiago Alcantara, 28. Jota, 45 million. And then Konate this summer for 36 million. So, I mean, I know they sold to generate, didn't they? They sold Coutinho for an absolute boatload, but...
This is it. I mean,
what's the final figure there?
It comes to a total of 29 players for 550 £1,050,000.
Over five, that's over 5 years. So they've spent
100 million a year.
110 million a year.
And the point about Liverpool, you mentioned Coutinho there. I have maximum respect for that deal where they sold Coutinho and went and bought Alisson and Van Dijk, because that made them, that completed the team. And it's absolutely a superb piece of business. And if they're spending this much money, it's money that they've taken in. And it's, on that score, it's fair enough. But don't pretend you ain't got no money. That's the first thing. And then the other thing is, I find this quite useful, more to think about the conversation with Rodrigo being 29 million and what we've paid for Daniel James, what we paid for Firpo, and whether we're getting the value for money. When you look at, for example, where is he? Naby Keita, who they paid £32 million for, and he sits on the bench and he's never been as good as they wanted him to be. Even Shaqiri, £14 million. I suppose he's been a decent squad player for them, but not somebody you would think has been exceptional. This Konate that they've signed this summer, who is essentially a backup centre-back in case something happens to Van Dijk again, and with Matip kind of aging, £36 million. So he's kind of the equivalent of our Stroik, who cost £1 million.
Andy Lonergan. Oof.
No, nah. at least we do have something something in common with them. But I find it useful. It is upsetting that we don't get more out of Rodrigo for the money that we paid for him. But then
it's a reflection of the market, isn't it, more than anything else? It's,
yeah.
It's nothing else. It's just the stupid TV money.
And I think, that's why I think I was making a point on an earlier podcast, that you kind of balance it out, that because we got Bamford so cheap, it means that our Bamford backup can be more expensive because we've got more in the bank from what we didn't spend on Bamford. So if you balance them out as like two £50 million players, you feel a little bit better about how Rodrigo is not much good at all. But, you know, we are in that market where to get close to Liverpool, we need three £30 million forwards, not just one and some championship players. And we're not going to get there until we sell Calvin Phillips and spend the money on new players.
That was part of my sense of doom at the weekend was, well, that's it, we've lost Phillips now. And we may well sell him in the summer. But do you know what? There's part of me thinks, if it just means we can get better, I don't know, do we just accept
it? Sell him, Dan.
They're going to do. Of course they are. If his value gets up to, if they can get 80 million, 90 million, they're going to sell him. They will do. You know they will.
And I think it's less about what Leeds want to do. It's more about, we're moving this conversation into very dark areas now, but I think it's as soon as a club like Liverpool or Manchester City want him, they'll buy him because they can afford him and they can give him Champions League football immediately. I think there's a romantic idea with Leeds at the moment based on last season finishing ninth, where it's like, oh, if we can just get into the Europa League, Calvin will want to play a season in Europe with us, which he might. But then if he's offered the Champions League and the wages that will come with it at that moment.
Can we move on to something more positive, like us being called scum? Because this is far too depressing. We're not selling him. Not yet, anyway.
But what I was actually going to say was, just to finish that thought off, was that I felt completely doom and gloom about the entire thing in the wake of the game and on the match ball. And I'd written off, I said, well, Calvin's too good. He'll never stay, which he may not. But today I'm just feeling a bit more spiky about it. And I'm almost, I think by Wednesday, Thursday, I'll be bang up for Newcastle again. Mm. I will have worked it out of my system. Anyway, let's listen to a bunch of Scousers celebrating.
No, I didn't bother with that. Instead, I went to Redmen TV. I mean, we might not even want this one. It's so balanced. It's them talking about the red card. And then there's also Anfield Agenda is the man who we might remember. He was calling them fucking clowns last season. You might remember. But he was doing a live watch along and he basically saw the red card, the same as us as well. So as a contrast to maybe some of the things you may have seen on Twitter, here are some more balanced people speaking.
The challenge itself, I don't think it was malicious. It wasn't maybe a bit reckless at most, but obviously I don't think the guy meant it, who got sent off. And then kind of after that, you know, I think a lot of people kind of felt the same. It was just slightly numb, really, of, you know, okay, great, we're 1-0 up, but, you know, it's a massive blow to a young lad who's, as I said before, has had a huge impact on football. So wish him all the best of luck. Keep your support messages coming.
And then this is Anfield Agenda.
Elliot in a bit of space now, right-hand side. Go on, Harvey. Good tackle on him, to be fair. Good tackle on. Oh, Elliot's down. Serious. Ox. This is serious.
Collision, motherfucker.
Yeah, it was a sliding challenge from behind. Bollocks. Salah immediately wanted medical attention on. We'll wait and see what happens here, folks. It looked like a fair challenge. It was one of those kind of half behind, half sideways sliding challenges. To me, I looked like he got the ball, and I had no qualms at the time about the challenge. But, you know, I don't know if we will see a replay of it, but this looks like a bad injury from people's faces.
When he started saying this is serious there, I almost segued straight into Celine Dion. Anyway.
Well, what is wrong with you in that case?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's pretty much how we all saw it, wasn't it? It is nice to know that not everyone's swivel-eyed lunatics.
Speaking of, then, shall we? Shall we? I mean, this is everyone. This man has been the talk of Twitter, hasn't he?
Which I think he probably wants. This is the currency now, isn't it? It's just it's an attention economy that we're in, unfortunately. And the more outlandish you are, like that guy, the Anfield Agenda guys, there, they're not going to get a lot of traction versus what this is going to get, because this is fucking preposterous.
Yes, this is someone called Sonny, who does have his own YouTube thing, which is called The Liverpool Addiction. But he was on The Football Terrace, which I've kind of come across before. It's a YouTube phone-in sort of format after games. It's quite instructive to read the comments that are alongside the live feed of this, because as soon as he said, he's a guy called Terry, I think, the bloke who hosts it, as soon as he said, speaking to Sonny, the comments, here we go, laughing faces, deluded Sonny, not this guy, worst Liverpool fan, not Sonny, deluded Sonny is back, Liverpool fan, oh God, not him, were the comments on it.
It's like the Piers Morgan of Liverpool internet, isn't it?
And in fairness, I think he did justify those comments with his initial rant about him.
I think this is the first time ever where we've won the game 3-0 and I genuinely feel like we've just been battered 5-0. Leeds United, shame on you. Leeds United are a disgrace. Bielsa, Struich, however you pronounce his name, everyone associated with Leeds United are a disgrace. To go in on an 18-year-old from behind, and I see people saying that is not a red card. In what sense is that not a red card? You go in from behind someone, that is a red all day long. That's like me walking in Asda and like deciding to fully a baby on its head. It's illegal. Going behind on an 18-year-old, putting in a challenge like that, it should be illegal. I'm surprised if it's not illegal. Harvey Elliott has had his career ended before it's begun. And that's all because of Leeds United. I can't even focus. Salah's reached 100 goals today. Salah's literally my favourite player probably ever, ahead of Gerrard, ahead of anyone. And I can't even enjoy that today because the team we played are absolutely disgusting in Leeds United. For me, everything about Leeds, some of the chants that was going on, Bielsa's tactics, the fact that they're the most overrated team in the country, everything about Leeds United I despise. And today, it's just gone from here to there. And what annoys me even more is the fact that some people are trying to say that's not a red card. If that happens to your team, you do not hear one fan saying that's not a red card. It's a red all day. And if there's an option for it to be like a more of a disciplinary reaction, you need to get that straight away. Because for me, especially the fact he's 18, he's got his whole life ahead of him, let alone his career. And that might have just been ended today due to some stupid tackle from a Leeds United player. For me, Leeds United, everything they do is just infuriating. The chance, like I said, the manager, the style of football, the fact that everyone loves them for some reason. That's why I think loads of people are saying, it's not a red. No, it's fine. It's because it's Liverpool and we like Leeds. So let's just back Leeds for a minute. Leeds United, the most overrated team in the country. Football personality, fans, whatever you want to say about Leeds, is so overrated. And that is a red card all day long. And if there's a way to do it above a red card, do it. Put him in prison. I mean, he's 18 years old. I can't even enjoy the fact we won 3-0 today. And that's what annoys me the most.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
I know we've seen and heard some nonsense, particularly on Twitter, but genuine football fans, Liverpool fans as well, right-minded Liverpool fans, they're going to think that's shit.
Yeah. Anyone, if it was a Leeds fan doing that, I would be just thoroughly embarrassed.
It's just so performative, isn't it? It's just bullshit.
Yeah. The thing is, you mentioned before about the attention economy. I think what Sonny's not realising, and I think it might be dawning on him when he looks at his viewing figures, is that that stuff is a fad and it won't last forever. He's got his talking points of it should be illegal, Leeds are a team of thugs and he's a child, and he's trying to build something out of those. It never really works. You can tell, and the other clips of this guy, you can feel that there's a lack of sort of genuine feeling behind these, because he's doing it to impress.
Yeah, it's performative, yeah.
Yeah, it's the performance aspect. And you'd say, you know, it's what's getting the attention, but his own channel, where it's the Leeds Are a Disgrace video that he's done, has got 360 views. Leeds Are Disgusting, 164 views.
Is that a separate video?
Yeah.
Okay.
They're all, the Leeds Are a Disgrace one's 2 minutes. Leeds Are Disgusting is half an hour. And yeah, 160 people have watched that. Salah, his player ratings one gets 77 views. And when you look back, he's been doing this for a few months. Ranking Klopp's signings, 36 minutes, 100 views. And I don't mean to, you know, pick on anybody for not getting many viewers. It's not a competition. Well, no, but the only reason he would be doing this, you know, he has his PayPal link in his channel. So it's like, yeah, I'll do this. This contains instant match reactions, real opinions, PayPal me and support me. But nobody's interested because it's not very good. And it's going to end up with just having to give it up, because the Goldbridge effect only really works because of Goldbridge is great at it. You know, I don't know if he's... I still don't even know if he's a real Man United fan.
You can't tell whether it's real or not, can you? That's the thing, even though I think from what we gather, it's an act, basically.
But the believability of it works. And he's, you know, become a roaring success because people want to give him money to do it, not because of it's something that's really copyable. And there's a lot of people trying to copy that, and it's not going to work. And bless him, Sonny's a young lad, and he's going to spend, I guess, this season having even Liverpool fans hating everything he says, reacting as Michael pointed out, when he comes on any of these live streams saying, oh, no, not him. And then he's just going to have to, I guess, I don't know, go to university and get a job or something. He'll just have to take
like
something
in the
else.
Olden, that's a very, that's like a, in the olden days.
Very old man's opinion on YouTube. Well,
I want to see him on a greengrocer's stall.
Well, it'll work for some. I mean, you look at the Anfield rap, and there's Red Men TV that have made big successes out of what they're doing and the production values. I mean, I mentioned before about the way the Anfield rap film their bacon. It's beautiful. You know, there's obviously a lot of... They're very good at filming. They could do cookery shows.
Got sizzle.
I don't know if Sonny really has the ability to pivot into cookery when this doesn't work.
It's almost like the difference between, you see people who want to be famous for like being good at singing, for example, or being good at acting or something, and then you see people who want to be famous for like being on Love Island or doing something mildly outrageous and being like in that weird half celebrity, half Instagram influencer type band of people. And like, I guess one is really good and one is absolutely terrible. And he falls into the really terrible category because he's... And I mean, we talk about how performance of it is. We'll come on in a bit to his weirdly recorded after the event, pretending to watch it live match reaction to it.
This sounds exhausting.
And it's so...
Why did we even bother doing YouTube? Fuck.
Well, the thing is, in fact, well, let's go straight...
By the way, if the algorithm is listening to this, we do love you. Thank you.
Yeah, no, Chad Hurley's sorting that out for us, isn't he? We've got the inside track.
Anyway, back to the... Let's play the idiot.
So this one, I mean, I don't know. This is where Terry, who is hosting, tries to talk a bit of sense into him, and he just keeps going with it. It's like he's decided his his path and he just won't be deterred.
It's interesting. I mean, listen, a lot of people are disagreeing with you in the comments in relation to that. You want him to get more than a three-game ban. You're saying more than three games.
I'd give him a season ban. It's the fact that he's 18 years old. He knew exactly what he was doing. And when I see, when you can see on the camera angles on TV, Arthur, he's like, oh, no, what have I done here? What have I done here? He knew exactly what he was doing. He knew the player he was going into is literally a kid. That should make it illegal in itself. And then the challenge on another question, it's just... I cannot believe he's had the nut to even try and do that.
If only he'd been 19, eh?
If he'd have been a bit older, if Pascal himself would have been a bit younger. What if Pascal had been 17 and he'd done it to an 18-year-old? Would that have made it all right?
He's not even saying anything. He's not saying anything, is he? Just saying he's only a kid. He knew what he was doing. Shut up.
I'm not sure if it's in...
Go to the greengrocer's store.
Well, he kind of put it across in the first clip we listened to that it's all about the... Bielsa's team setting out to do this to sweet young players. But if that's true, why is this the tackle that we chose, that Struyck deliberately decided, this is how I'm going to hurt him, rather than from the very first minute of the game, just take his knees off? Instead of doing this incredibly subtle...
Bide my time.
Yeah, and then I'll see if I could... Because one of the points about this accident is that it's a fairly freakish occurrence to actually... If Elliot's foot had been, 6 inches the other side, it doesn't happen. Struyck is not that good that he was able to plot the exact positioning of Harvey Elliott's trailing ankle with his trailing leg.
We know this. Yeah. He knows this. Why are we even discussing in the context of this little fuckwit?
And I think that was my point before about how it's not going to work for him, because when we all know that what he's doing is just picking the most outrageous position he can and then yelling at people about it on YouTube, that is why there is only 166 views on the stream, because people just know he doesn't really think this. And when he's sitting in his Love Island chair pretending to watch the game live and retrofitting a reaction that he thinks is going to get the most attention, people see through that, unless, he's Kenneth Branagh.
Well, yeah, what you're saying is, and I'm going to agree with you, is we are living in an era of authenticity and there's none of it here. That's what it is. People can sense the difference between the authentic and the not.
Yes.
Right. Let's just play the Liverpool addiction, this thing that he did, his live reaction. Christ.
Go on, Harvey. Oh, red! Disgusting! Oh, my God. Oh, he's hurt. Of course he's hurt. Oh, red, that's why you blow the whistle. Shit. Harvey Elliott is badly hurt. From what I've seen in the challenge, I wasn't properly looking, but it looked bad. Looked like a straight from behind. And I don't know what happened, but he's probably broken his leg or something. Harvey Elliott's career literally started last week, and now there's probably going to be talk if it's over.
Just get out.
What a remarkably quick assessment. I listened back to it. I managed to find the Sky commentary, and I think it's NBC, or maybe just the general international feed that Peter Drury was on. And within the same time frame, no one of these absolute seasoned broadcasters, and actually Bryn Law as well, no one had picked out half the things he did within 30 seconds of the challenge. Like, that was he's hurt badly. He knew that within seconds, didn't he? Almost like he'd watched it before. Then he knew it was probably some sort of a break. He had all stuff lined up about, the referee should be blowing his whistle for these things.
This kid, he needs a girlfriend, boyfriend.
I thought you were going to say shoeing. But,
job. He probably does need a shoeing, but he's only a kid. You can't touch a kid. He probably does. He needs a beating in a car park off CCTV. This is the real world.
We don't mean that.
To be clear, don't beat up children.
He's got shit hair as well. On this clip,
I'm still dwelling on your seasoned broadcasters and Bryn Law.
sorry, Bryn. I wasn't.
No need to take him down. I think you meant
including Bryn Law,
and he is one of them. Is what I meant.
Don't beat up children. God.
Don't beat up children. No. Yeah, he's just exhausting. Is this guy? I mean, he'd done a full. This was a cut together thing uploaded the morning after the game, about 10:30, I think, or something. He went up of his live reaction to the goals and to this incident, and I was annoyed enough that I was actually trying to track shadows in the room to see it, to sort of prove that it had to, like the moon landings, to prove that it's all been filmed within a few minutes. There's a shadow of some flowers on the wall.
Did you go all grassy knoll book depository?
And I was thinking, gosh, I wonder what side that window's facing. I wonder if. Because over the course of a game, it's a couple of hours. I'm thinking the sun would have moved, whereas the shadows on his face and off his mum's
Michael,
his mum's egg chair are all the same.
Michael,
but it would have been pointless.
Mum's egg chair,
and it is his mum. If you're watching in your egg chair, you're a etc.
Michael, what's happened there? You went quite far down the rabbit hole, and I'm worried about you.
Well, it was just watching it as the kid. This is ridiculous.
I know I've got angry at a stupid child on YouTube, and I know I shouldn't. And I'm probably just, you know, there's probably some deep subconscious unloading of my own issues onto this child, whatever it might be.
I've just
you've gone wrong there.
I know I have. It's too far. And also, I did try and put myself in the perspective of his mum, who has been kicked out of her conservatory. So he's like, are you doing your fake match reaction, love?
Okay, you can have the orangery back in a bit.
How long are you going to be? Just 10 minutes. Go out into the garden for a bit. I don't want you to hear me doing my pretend shouting thing. It's a bit embarrassing. And then have you got your socks out from under bed, love? Yes. Okay. I'll go put them in wash for you.
I think it's a sock, isn't it? Under the bed.
Yeah.
Anyway, right. Let's hear from Steve Nicol, please. Just save this absolute abomination with something from Stevie.
Stevie. He wasn't covering our game, which was a shame. And I don't know if you've heard, but Ronaldo's re-signed for Man United. So ESPN, I mean, you know, you can't blame them. They have to cover these.
After the weekend we've had, I'm glad we're talking about Ronaldo.
They have to cover these feel-good stories, don't they?
That actually all got lost, didn't it? I completely forgot about that.
Yeah, I mean, it's been fairly gushingly written about by lots and lots of people. But ESPN were covering the story then of who was better in their prime, because it's, you know, the Man United Ronaldo, not in his prime now, has been a really good player. But who was better in their prime? Was it Cristiano Ronaldo or Brazilian Ronaldo, you know?
Well, the answer is Brazilian Ronaldo.
That is correct. You know, R9 or CR7. So they've got...
This is, well, shut it down.
They've got a panel together.
Unplug the internet. But, R9, CR7, shut it down.
But they've got a panel together to discuss it anyway, which is fine. You know, it's filling a bit of space. And on that panel is Steve Nicol. And here's what he had to say.
Gab, who would you pick?
Which one's Cristiano Ronaldo?
What do you mean?
Well, it's the same person, isn't it?
No, Ronaldo's first name isn't Cristiano, is it?
I thought that. Well, wait a minute. Hold on.
Oh my God.
You okay?
Well, you need to read my book. You need to read my book.
I thought the question was which Ronaldo, the Manchester United Ronaldo or Real Madrid Ronaldo? Right. I beg your pardon.
Okay.
Beg your pardon. I thought Ronaldo maybe had 9 when he was at United.
No, he had 7. He had 7
with his name.
No, that's
why Cavani.
Yeah, number 7. That's why there's this big to-do about him wearing number 7 again.
So he was 9?
At Real Madrid for one season and Raul.
No, at Man United he was number 9.
No, he was 7.
That's why I thought.
Right,
because it's got R9. I was thinking Ronaldo 9 when he was at Man United.
Okay.
And he changed to CR7.
Gab, who would you choose in their absolute prime?
I'm glad he doubled down then again, which is what his tactic seems to be when he's just completely flabbergasted.
He seems to forget that he's on television.
Yeah, I've written down, he's employed as a football expert.
That's like listening to somebody arguing at like a family meal, saying like, no, I know that, but I thought you were saying that, but that's why I thought that's what I was thinking.
And therefore, you need to understand that even though I'm massively wrong...
I really need to shout at you about how wrong I was.
My thoughts were...
And it's great, and it's on TV.
God bless him.
That's what they're serving up for the American
great,
audience.
It's like the clip of him, which I'm not... Have we even covered this, or have we just watched it and laughed about it? The clip where he's on telly and someone asks about the trophy over your right shoulder.
Yeah.
And he goes, well, I can't see it. And they go, you can, it's behind you. He's like, yeah, I can't see it on the camera, can you? And they were like... Which, what are you talking about?
It's about 3 minutes long as well.
And they're going, just turn around. He's going, I can't see it. They go, can I? Like, it's behind you, Stevie.
And it's in your house.
Don't you know what's on your shelves? And he's just going, no, because it...
And then he tries to turn that round as well. So I said, well, I bet you don't know what's in your house. Yes, I do.
And also, if someone asked me and it was behind me, I'd go, oh, it's the Bielsa model that just sits there. But... Anyway, at least he gave a bit of light relief in a week that's been...
It's been awful, hasn't it?
Sunny. Dreadful. That's how it's done.
Yeah.
You know, watch and listen to the master.
Yeah, just behave like you've had a brain injury. And...
Authenticity, we were saying.
Yeah.
Say what you like about Steve Nicol.
You can't fake that, can you?
He may be unprofessional and an idiot, but he's very authentic and I love him. after his miserable start last season, which it all started with Liverpool, didn't it? There's no control.
No, that was Manchester City,
wasn't
it?
Yeah. But it all started about a year ago now, and I've come to love him.
Yeah, despite everything. Well, I think it is a good place to leave it because we've managed to smile over what was a particularly difficult weekend. I just hope that when we reconvene to do propaganda at the start of next week, we'll have some really unhappy Geordies because they are very, very unhappy. And we're going to come on to that preview in the main show. So look out for that in podcast and the YouTube feed when we preview Newcastle. That they're not happy. And I hope we make them more unhappy because we desperately need some light in our lives.
I think they almost revel in the unhappiness at the moment. They're like we were a bit under Bates in those years where you're like, well, let's lean into this thing because we're stuck with it and we'll go with the misery. But yes, hopefully they won't have anything to smile about.
Thank you for joining us on this one. We'll see you then. The Square Ball Podcast.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.